Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
But first this afternoon, we're turning to that news about AstraZeneca. At a press conference this afternoon, the European Medicines Agency said there is a possible link between the vaccine and rare blood clots, but that the benefit risk remains positive. They said so far, most of the cases reported have occurred in women under 60 years of age within 2 weeks of vaccination. Well, let's have a listen to what EMA Executive Director Emer Cook had to say.
After a very in-depth analysis has concluded that the reported cases of unusual blood clotting following vaccination with the AstraZeneca vaccine should be listed as possible side effects of the vaccine. As we communicated last week, we convened an ad hoc expert group composed of experts from a range of medical specialities, including hematologists, neurologists, epidemiologists, and virologists. Based on the current available evidence, specific risk factors such as age, gender, or previous medical history of clotting disorders have not been able to be confirmed, as the rarest events are seen in all ages and in men and women. A plausible explanation for these rare side events is an immune response to the vaccine, leading to a condition similar to one seen sometimes in patients treated with heparin. It's called heparin-induced thrombocytopenia.
Well, Emer Cook also said that the EMA is going to continue to monitor the vaccine's safety and effectiveness.
The role of pharmacovigilance, the monitoring of these side effects, is to help us to rapidly detect and analyze these risks and their impact on the benefit risk profile of the vaccine. This case also shows us that our pharmacovigilance system is working. These very rare and unusual events have been picked up, identified, analyzed, and have allowed us to come to science-based recommendations to allow the safe and effective use of this vaccine. EMA's scientific assessment will continue to work on all recommendations around this vaccine. Any national decision on the optimal use in vaccination campaigns will also take into account the pandemic situation in any individual country and other factors such as hospitalization and availability of vaccines.
So that was EMA Executive Director Emer Cook speaking just a short while ago. We're going to stay with this topic now and turn to the UK, where the medical regulator there has changed its guidance over the use of the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine and is now warning that people aged 18 to 29 should not use the jab. Well, for more on this, I'm joined now by Paul Hunter, who is Professor in Medicine at the University of East Anglia. And thank you, Paul, for joining us this evening.
My pleasure.
Can you just tell us exactly what the UK medical regulator, the Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency, what exactly it has decided in relation to this?
Yeah, I mean, essentially very similar to what the European Medicines Agency has decided, that yes, the vaccine is generally safe and we should continue to use it, but they did point out that in general the risk seems to be more in younger people than in older people from the vaccine. And that is the reverse of what you see the risk associated with COVID. So essentially what they felt was that at the moment for people under 30 who are coming when and they come for vaccine, because we're not actually vaccinating that age group predominantly yet and won't be for some time, but when they do come for vaccination, they should be offered an alternative to the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine, such as the Pfizer vaccine or the Moderna vaccine, or presumably any of the others that are likely to be licensed by the time we get to the summer, when these people will be offered vaccine.
So the EMA particularly has mentioned women under 60 years of age.
Yes.
That's where most cases have been reported. Do we have any idea why that is?
Well, the EMA has suggested it could be similar to a condition called heparin-induced thrombocytopenia, where you develop antibodies to the blood clot, the heparin, which is a normal part of your body which reduces your likelihood of developing clots like this. If that is the case, if it is what's called an autoimmune disease, then women generally are more at risk from autoimmune diseases than men. Women's immune systems seem to be that much more active than men's immune systems. And one of the downsides of that is that women do suffer more from autoimmune diseases than men. And that would certainly explain the gender difference. But part of the problem is that because, particularly in those age groups, a lot of the people, younger people who have been offered vaccines so far, are in the caring professions, which tend to recruit women in preference to men, or at least women tend to prefer to go into those professions rather than men. More women have been offered vaccine than men so far, at least in the UK.
So that might be skewing the figures
somewhat. Yeah, so I think there are all sorts of reasons why it may be the case, but it may be just because more women have been offered vaccine.
We are going to be looking at this in a little more detail later, Paul, but I'm interested in your thoughts on the fact that there is some divergence here, and it is significant, really, in that the British regulator has suggested people under 30 shouldn't get AstraZeneca now if possible, whereas the European Medicines Agency hasn't given that recommendation. I wonder, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think at the moment they are not yet giving final decisions on this, because both agencies will be collecting even more information as we go through the next few months, and will be undoubtedly changing recommendations again at some point in the next few months. Although the European Medicines Agency hasn't specified age groups that should be avoided, a lot of European countries have already started doing that, Germany, the Netherlands, and now the UK, although all of us with very different age bands in which we do and do not give the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine. Hopefully, as we get more information, the differences will reflect more closely the science and will merge together and be similar across most European countries, including the UK.
All right. I tell you what, we'll leave it there. But thank you very much for joining us with your thoughts on that and that update. That's Paul Hunter, Professor in Medicine at the University of East Anglia. And we're going to be discussing this topic and getting a lot more analysis on it after 5 o'clock. Right now, though, we'll take a break.